We're in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. From ruin to restoration is the story of God's dealing in this Old Testament narrative. We are in the midst of ruin. Elimelech and Naomi traveled from Israel to Moab, a 50-mile journey around the Dead Sea. Naomi then lost her husband Elimelech. She lost her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. In the process of that 10 years, she gained two daughters-in-law. And last week we read in chapter 1 in which she said, "I'm going to follow the convictions of God. I want you to do likewise." And it's very possible our paths may diverge. It says in the previous verse we read last week, the last verse, that Orpah kissed her farewell, but Ruth clung to her. We take up the reading of God's word in verse 15. We'll read through verse number 18. One of the most dramatic monologues, not just in Scripture, but in the literature of the world, the response of Ruth is beyond powerful. Verse 15 is where we will begin. "And she," Naomi, "said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me more and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. The dialogue is dramatic, but the monologue is beyond powerful. It's a declaration of faith, of hope, and ultimately restoration. Picking up the pieces of ruin, where do we go from here? I want to show you three phases of this dialogue, of the interaction between Naomi and Ruth. Because as we study the book of Ruth, we don't just find Ruth or Naomi, we find ourselves. And there are some very practical truths, some very relevant truths I want to show you today. So let's go back and read verse 15 before we get into point number one. Verse number 15, "And she," Naomi, "said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" The first phase of this is asking, what will you do? And that is what Naomi is doing to Ruth. You say, "Pastor, it's not really a question, it's more of a command," but in the essence, the spirit of the text, it is a question. Naomi told her daughters-in-law, "I'm going back to Israel." Orpah kissed her, but Ruth clung to her, meaning she wants to stay with her. And then Naomi issues a statement, styled like a question, but eliciting a response. Very unusual the way Naomi does it. She never says directly, "Ruth, do this." She says, "Ruth, look at Orpah." Orpah has gone back. She's returned. That means she's not going forward. And in a rhetorical way, she is saying, "Look at Orpah going back. Ruth, consider it. Maybe you should go back." Why is it easier to go back? Because it's the people she knows. It's the God she's familiar with. It's easier. It's more practical if you stay. Now, I know this is a New Testament phrase, but count the cost. Ruth, consider what you will do. Consider what you will give up to follow. You give up your people, the Moabites. You give up your gods, which the chief god of Moab is Chemosh. Moab is a fertile land, great for crops, great for livestock. It's a great place geographically. It's beautiful. It's a great place to stay. Plant roots, raise a family. Count the cost. The people of Moab had very similar lifestyles to the Israelites. Farming, gathering, simplistic living. But they had different values. In considering Moab versus Israel, the people of Israel had a different moral code. They had a higher sense of life, and the value of life, the opinion of life, versus the Moabites. Consider staying as Orpah did with her people, but then Naomi says, see, Orpah has gone after her people and gone back to her gods. More than one, but primarily the god of Moab, undisputably, is Chemosh, known as the subduer, perhaps the destroyer. In ways, he was like Yahweh. If you did what he wanted, you were blessed. But if you disobeyed Chemosh, you deserve death and punishment no matter what. So there is a divide between Yahweh and Chemosh, because in Moab, there's no grace, there's no mercy in the worship of Chemosh. All there is retribution. And there is a fearful existence in Moab, because like Moloch or Molech, to worship Chemosh, there's child sacrifice. And I go and tell you that now, that don't fit in God's plan for us or for Ruth. Count the cost of who you follow. Now, there's many gods, Ruth. What you've known for years, you can go back to them. Go back to the people like Orpah. Go back to the gods like Orpah. Now, Naomi says this, but she does not mean it. The way she phrases it, and we know the personality of Naomi, she doesn't want Ruth to stay. She wants Ruth to go with her. And so I believe she is saying, Ruth, are you going to break the cycle? Are you going to be the first one in your family to step up and step out? It's very similar to first-generation college students. I read an article about a student from Ball State University who's a journalism major, is a first-person opinion piece. Her name is Crystal. She says, I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican, and I'm passionate about my heritage. She grew up in Puerto Rico, but she considers the U.S. her home. They immigrated when she was 6. Her dad abandoned the family not long after. And she said that she felt like she had to be the responsible older sister, and so she desired to go to college. Now, we talk about first-generation college students, and we highlight the victories, as well as we should, and we commend them for their studiousness, as well we should. But her writing talked about the struggles. She said there's a lot to be said about the experiences, triumphs, and struggles. While it seems so achievable, it's a long and tedious commitment. She examined her shortfalls in her mind. She said, I criticized myself for not being fluent enough in the English language. I look at my peers and I don't feel as advanced as they are. I feel if I do badly an assignment, I feel like I'm failing my family. But she's the first one to break the cycle. She says you've got to overcome language barriers, cultural barriers, and at times you feel like you have more on your plate than you can handle. In fact, she even dealt with the struggle of her cultural identity. She said she felt with dealt with imposter syndrome. And she dealt with the, as she said, the annoying mosquito always buzzing in your ear, constantly whispering doubts and insecurities. And without someone there to blaze the trail ahead of you, it's easy to feel like you don't belong or that you're not smart enough or qualified enough. I think there's a lot of similarities to the decision Ruth is facing. Now, Naomi phrases this portion with asking, Ruth, what will you do? And to answer that, we go back to the text, verses 16 and 17. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also if anything but death parts me from you. The first phase is asking. The second phase of this dialogue is answering. Answering, I will be faithful. I'll be faithful. Naomi urges Ruth to make a decision, and she does this with one sentence. Look at Orpah, or look at your sister-in-law. She's going after her people and her gods. Consider being like Ruth or Orpah. One sentence. Ruth responds with five sentences. She gives the plea. She talks about the promises. And then she gives a pledge. So what was so unique about her statement? Thank you for asking that. I'll be glad to answer you. With five subpoints. You say, Pastor, we wanted 3 points and a poem to be done with this sermon. Now you're getting 3, then 5, and then some extra on the end that I didn't include in the outline. Just consider that a Father's Day present to you. They say, it doesn't apply to me. Well, you get a blessing no matter what. Let me break it down in 5 ways. This statement, which I will not do it justice. God's word speaks for itself. But what was in her statement, number one, or point A, is a reply from her heart. She says, don't turn me away. Don't stop me of my pursuit of my convictions. It's almost like you can't talk to her that way. She's older than you. Show her respect. It's almost to the point Ruth says, you know what? I got to say what I got to say. Let me just reply from my heart. Don't turn me back. Don't stop me. You just said live by convictions, but now you're saying go back after her. Don't turn me away from following you. This is a reply from her heart. B, this is also about relocating her home, which is a big deal. She says to her mother-in-law, you can really say it's her mother now, "Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge." In other words, wherever you live, wherever you remain, just know this, Naomi, I'm living with you. It's almost saying, wherever you end up, I end up. I'm ready to move. Which no one in their right mind says that. If you've ever moved, you realize you've got more junk than you ever realized. Right out of college, I was serving at a church, and the pastor said, "Hey, we've got to go visit this couple. One of them is in the hospital." I said, "Absolutely, let's go check on them. Who is it?" And he told me a couple's name I'd never heard. I'd been there about 2 years. I said, "Who are you talking about?" He said, "They're longstanding members of this church." I said, "No, they are not. I don't even know their names." I said, "Have they been to church since I've been here?" He says, "No, they have not." I said, "They're not long tenured members of this church." He said, "They're members of the church." I said, "How come I've never seen them?" He said, "Because they live in an RV. I said, "Tell me more. I got to know about this." They had a home in that community, but they lived in an RV. And they traveled to different parks and to campgrounds. They were part of a group, Campers for Christ. And they were good examples of the Christian faith. I said, "Okay, now it makes sense." But if you talked with them, which I got to converse with them, it's like, "Why do you do this? We love to be out and about." I said, "Well, what makes you move from one spot to the other?" They say, "We're just ready to move." They're ready to move on. Ruth tells Naomi, "I'm not afraid of relocating my home, because wherever you go, I go. Where you live or remain, where you lodge, I lodge. Naomi, we're in this." Point D, there's a reality on the horizon. Because she says to Naomi, now we'll go back to Israel, we'll live. But then she says, "Where you die, I die." Naomi says, "Hold up, we're not talking about dying. Let's talk about living." And Ruth says, "Oh no. When you die, I'm putting flowers on your grave and I'm digging one next to you, and that's where they're going to bury me. Where you die, I die. And if I'm still there, they're going to bury me." That's what she's saying. Naomi's like, hold up. Let's not go that way. You see, Naomi gives a one statement issue to Ruth. Ruth responds with five. Naomi says, "Just people and gods." Ruth says, "Don't turn me back. I'm not afraid to live where you live. I'll die where you die. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." But understand the way she is framing this argument. Naomi says, "Here's a one statement issue." Ruth says, "I'm going to respond with five." Ruth says, "I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to say this. There are characteristics of this dialogue that comes back out in Matthew chapter 5, six times in that chapter, when someone, a prophet from Bethlehem, says, 'You heard it said, but I say to you.'" There's something about the way they argue. I think it just runs in the family. Ruth answers it directly, but she's like, "I'm going to elevate this argument. So much so, wherever you die, I'm prepared to die." Point E. It's Ruth's honor. She says, may the Lord do so to me. May Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, this is not just a casual, let's talk about God. She said, let's talk about our Lord. May the Lord do so to me. She is entering into an oath or a promise, whatever you want to say. She said, we wouldn't say it that way. We would say, God as my witness. Or the unreligious in our community would say, if I am lying, may lightning strike me. If I'm lying, I'm dying. We would use those kind of promises. But Ruth, in the ancient world, says, I'm making a promise to the Lord. May he do so to me if I don't fulfill this obligation to you. Now, she is answering the question, what will you do? She says, I'm going to be faithful. That's what I'm going to do. Ruth chapter 1, verse 18. And when Naomi saw what she was determined to go with her, she said no more. She said no more. So what happened in this dialogue, this is the third phase, agreeing. We do this together. We agree, we're going to do this together. Ruth's determination was an answer, listen to this, to Naomi's prayers. Naomi never wanted Ruth to leave her. It's not there. Naomi was hoping beyond hope, praying in desperation that Ruth would stick with her. Let me give you three observations. These won't be on the screen, but three observations based upon this text that don't fit in the flow of the sermon, but I've got to tell you anyway. Considering this interaction, the story, the dialogue, number one, a likeness of these spirits, of these ladies, plus the Holy Spirit brings them together. We understand it as fellowship, a camaraderie that comes from God, but something unique happens when a likeness of spirits between people and the Holy Spirit brings them together. Number two, second observation I have. The light of the Lord shines brightly through broken vessels like Naomi. Man, Naomi was broken, in ruin. But it's through Naomi, Ruth comes to faith. Do I believe that? Absolutely, I believe that. And number three, the third observation, following the Lord means giving up everything. Or at least putting it on the table and saying, I'll give up everything to follow him. Back in verse 16, point C, your people will be my people. And your God, my God. We got to save this for the end. She says, your people, the Israelites, will be my people. I am choosing Israel, meaning I am giving up Moab. So from this point on, I'm an Israelite. Now, in the rest of the book of Ruth, I counted minimum four times when she's walking around Bethlehem of Judea, or Judah, the Hebrew, they refer to her as Ruth, the Moabite. She's walking down the street. Hey, there goes Naomi and Ruth, the Moabite. And she can say, I'm not a Moabite. I'm of Israel. And they say, hold up, hold up. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3. No Ammonite or Moabite is welcome into the assembly of our Lord. And she would say, that's great. Because I'm not a Moabite. I choose Israel. They would say, you're not born into this. And she would say, 1,000 years from now, my grandson's coming. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't tell me about being born into without telling me about being born again. And then in John chapter 3, verse 7, he says, do not marvel, I tell you, you must be born again. They're saying, you're a Moabite. She said, no, I'm an Israelite. I'm more Israel than you are. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. She says the word Elohim, which is the same word for God in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. Bereshith Bari, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. She says, Naomi, you showed me God. And I don't know if this is the point of her conversion. I think it happened prior. But she says, your God is my God. I choose Elohim. So not only do I choose Israel, I'm choosing God. And this is an easy decision. Do I stay in Moab or go to Israel? Now in Moab, great land, opportunity. But let me remind you of Chemosh, the chief god of Moab. We have a lot of record of him from King Misha later in the Old Testament, the king of Moab, through great archaeological evidence. So we know a lot about Chemosh. When Moab and Israel were fighting later in history, the king of Moab, in front of the army of Israel, sacrificed his own son. And it scared the Israelites, and they retreated. You see, in Moab, there's a God who says, you got to kill your son. In Israel, there's a God who will give his son. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. What is so interesting, Ruth says, you can talk about my past. You can talk about what I was born into. You can put labels on me, and I don't care. I don't care what you say about me. All I care is what God says about me. I choose God. The same questions, the same phases of this dialogue I want to pursue with you. What are you going to do? Just like Ruth, choose faithfulness. Say, I will be faithful to the calling and convictions of God. I'll be faithful. In the third phase of that, we agree to do this together. So while you do make an individual decision, you do it with your brothers and sisters in Christ next to you. If you need to trust in Christ for salvation, if you need to take a step of obedience with baptism, maybe join the church, or maybe you just want to pray, we've got time before us for you to make a decision. Be faithful. Father, we thank you for being our Father. We thank you for being a father to Naomi and to Ruth. Father, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth, may they be acceptable unto you. Father, if someone is wrestling with decision or insecurity, Father, would you urge them through your Holy Spirit to trust and to be faithful, whatever that may look like, if it's a public decision, or Lord, if it's the opportunity, the time here and now to pray, would you impress that upon them? Father, I pray for those who are weary and heavy laden. I pray today, not just for those here, but for those listening online. For whatever your will dictates, may you bestow it upon them, and may they be faithful. Father, bless the hearers of this word. Can we, just like Ruth, say, your people will be my people, and you, our God, will be our God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.